How's it going, Grady Nation? Chris Thomas here. Hope you're having a great A kind of day. Let's welcome back my brother Tim. And he is... What are you doing, Tim? Oh, God, he's got the vibrator. Okay, Tim, you can turn it off. You don't... Okay. Okay, you said hello. Okay. My brother Tim is not able to speak, so he communicates through various means, and for whatever reason of late, he has chosen to strategically turn on and off a vibrator when he wants to express himself. So, it is what it is, and we make the most of it. But I am happy to have my brother as a co-host here on Great A Nation. And my brother took some time off because he was very frustrated with the show America's Got Talent. He wants to be on America's Got Talent. Okay, Tim, yeah, I know you can sing. You're not really singing, you're just making noises through a flute, but it does sound quite beautiful. You're welcome. Anyway, there have been folks on America's Got Talent that have been featured, and my brother Tim has been frustrated that these folks seem to suffer from ailments, or as my brother says, allegedly suffer from some ailments. A few weeks back, a contestant who was blind and autistic was a pianist and sang. And my brother Tim said there's no way that a blind and autistic person could play the piano and sing that way. So he believes that that person was a paid actor. And then recently there was a young violinist named Tyler Butler Figueroa, and he overcame cancer. He's in remission, and he was really an all-star violinist, and my brother was really seething with anger just watching the kid play. And hey, Tim, okay, I understand. You say, where's your opportunity? The kid had his opportunity at such a young age. When are you going to get yours? I understand. You have to keep focused on the podcast. You got to keep it growing. It's something that can work out. And also, you're training for the Special Olympics, right? Yes, I know the medals don't really matter, but it's still something that can boost your self-confidence. So my brother Tim is back, and one of the topics that I need to get out of the way and address as quickly as possible is the terrible trade that the Los Angeles Lakers made. I am a humongous Lakers fan, have been my entire life, as has Tim. He's saying there was a period where he was a Clippers fan, but I think he might be stretching the truth on that. Anyhow, the Lakers made an atrocious trade just to satiate, to please the, demands, ego, dictatorship of LeBron James. This is a guy who is a organization killer. Everything that people said about Kobe Bryant is actually applicable to LeBron James, and the media doesn't really cover it that way. I mean, they go fairly soft on LeBron for the most part. This guy has destroyed franchises. He destroyed the Cleveland Cavaliers twice. Sure, he made them a tremendous amount of money, but then left them in the dust, and they're totally obliterated. Did it two times. Did it to the Miami Heat, where, let's build things up, and, if anything goes wrong, I'm going to bail. So he comes to the Lakers. It's very awkward because there are all these comparisons between Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. Who's the greatest? I don't really think it's an appropriate comparison because they're two totally different styles of player and two different mindsets. So it's not really a tangible comparison. And also, LeBron really hasn't had the success in leadership that I think Kobe Bryant has not been given enough credit for. And some people might roll their eyes and say Kobe is a terrible leader, but he's a leader by example, showing up, putting 100% in everything you do. Sometimes, yeah, being a bit critical, but wanting the best out of everyone and believing in people that they can be their best. LeBron, with him, I'm not sure if there's that leadership where he wants to see people be their best and gets it out of them. If he feels like people aren't doing their best, he passive-aggressively tries to get rid of them. And just look at what he did with the Lakers season in the 2018-2019 year. I mean, he pretty much killed the team's season with all of this talk of potential trades and trying to get Anthony Davis over to the Lakers. The young players, and you have to say, oh, well, I mean, it's their fault that they responded badly to it. But a leader has to show that the organization is a group, is going to work together, has a common goal. And he didn't really do that. It seemed like LeBron has his goal and the franchise isn't necessarily a priority. It's advancing what LeBron wants. That's not the way you do things. So now we're in a situation where three players, three pretty solid players, have been traded along with three draft picks, and we'll ultimately learn more about the area in which the draft picks will be selected from in the years to come. But, I mean, that's a lot. Three players, three draft picks for one player, Anthony Davis. And when you do the breakdown, what exactly is the team gaining, Los Angeles Lakers? The Lakers traded Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and Lonzo Ball. Last year, Brandon Ingram averaged 18 points. Josh Hart averaged 8 points. Lonzo, 10. That's 36 points. Compare that to the 26 points Anthony Davis averaged last year. So you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to make up 10 points that are no longer there, hypothetically. Assists. Brandon Ingram, 3 assists on average a game. Josh Hart, 1.5 assists. Lonzo, 5 assists. So in the 2018-2019 season, the three players the Lakers traded averaged 9.5 assists per game. Compare that to the 2.1 assists per game Anthony Davis averaged. Essentially, the Lakers are going to have to make up 7 assists a game. Where is that going to come from? Is it just magically going to manifest? It's totally illogical. With the rebounding, it's not that big of a disparity. The Lakers, 3 Laker players, 14 rebounds compared to Anthony Davis's 12 rebounds. In terms of steals, not too big of a disparity either. 3 steals per game from the 3 Lakers compared to 1.6 steals from Anthony Davis. And actually, I mean, Anthony Davis as a center, large player, does have more blocks than the 3 players combined, 2.4 blocks per game compared to about 1.5 blocks per game, 1.6. So Some might say, well, it's kind of a wash given some of these categories. There isn't that much of a disparity. The thing is, though, I mean, the Lakers roster is pretty much a developmental league roster plus LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma. So LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma are suddenly going to be able, along with Anthony Davis, to get through a very competitive Western Conference. I just don't see it. I mean, we looked at the situation of the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. When Kevin Durant went down, people said, oh, well, maybe they'll be fine. You still have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. It's not that easy. Okay, we saw that. When Klay Thompson went down, and you pretty much saw the Golden State Warriors fight back hard, but aren't really much of a team, and that's because you only have one impactful player left in Steph Curry. So here's a situation where you're going to have LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, and Anthony Davis. You're going to need other pieces. Some people say, well, get Jimmy Butler, get another major player. It's still not enough. The league has changed somewhat. We are in the midst of a change, and it's not something whereby, oh, well, if you have some superstars and a few decent role players, you're going to have a very high chance of winning. It's not that easy anymore in terms of sustaining a strong 82-game regular season record and doing well in the playoffs. You have to have a balanced team, and that's what the Toronto Raptors had, and that's why they won. None of the Raptors players are essentially superstars. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a quiet superstar and is a leader in a sense, but what's the matter, Tim? Why are you looking at me and just... Okay, Kawhi Leonard is a superstar. Okay. What I meant to say was that Kawhi Leonard and all the other Raptors, none of them were lottery picks. So they... When the various franchises that selected them had the opportunity to pick them, they didn't pick them at a very high level in the lottery. I'm not stammering. I'm not sputtering. It's just you distracted me when you were looking at me and gonna turn on the freaking vibrator. Okay, now you're starting to irritate me, and I'm gonna take that vibrator and shove it in your mouth, okay? Okay, what I'm trying to say is the Raptors players, none of them were selected above the level of 15 in the lottery. So they weren't like the first choice, second choice, third choice, not really top picks, top tier picks. They're more glue players, role players. And so the team was based on everyone contributing. And you had a starting five, all average in the double digits for a good number of the games. And, oh God, here we go again. He's telling me to move on and that I'm wasting time. I was just trying to get the point that maybe the Raptors model is the new model of the NBA. Okay, that's what I was trying to say, you prick. And I apologize, folks. It's just my brother has been somewhat combative, kind of agitated. just because, you know, let's be honest, he's not good enough to get on America's Got Talent. Okay, you don't have to use the F word. This is a PG rated show, and you don't have to use that word, okay? Oh, okay, the B word. Well, if you want to play that game, go ahead. But I'm going to keep it classy. All I'm saying is that very balanced teams where everyone can contribute, everyone on the bench, if called upon, can make an impact. That could be the model of the NBA now. And I think that's something that has to be considered. That's all I was trying to say. And thanks to you, I couldn't get it out. Oh, go F myself? Well, I mean, you know, maybe you won't be a part of this show anymore. How about that? What do you think about that? Huh? Yeah. It's my show, not yours. Oh, lawyer. Oh, okay. Litigious. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to try and settle things down. And we're going to talk about Jessica Biel and all of her alleged anti-vaccination positions. All right, we are back, folks, here on Grade A Nation, and Tim is just letting me have it after the last segment, and he just will not stop. Tim, you gotta cut it out. Can you please just stop yelling? Please. I want to get on to this segment. Cut it out! Stop it! Oh, you're such a freaking jerk. All right, if you don't stop talking, we're not going to go get Arby's. There we go. We got him. Little does he know, we're not going to Arby's anyway. I'm kidding. All right. Just chill out, all right? Just be quiet for a few minutes because I want to get these thoughts out about Jessica Biel, because everyone just jumped to the conclusion that she's an anti-vaxxer, when in reality she seems to be saying that she wants there to be continued flexibility, because in California they're proposing legislation that would try to limit medical exemptions from vaccinations. So saying, you know, with parents trying to find ways that would prevent their children from receiving vaccines, they would seek out a medical exemption. The California state legislature wants to make that more difficult. And Jessica Biel said in a statement, quote, "My concern with SB 277 is solely regarding medical exemptions. My dearest friends have a child with a medical condition that warrants an exemption from vaccinations, and should this bill pass, it would greatly affect their family's ability to care for their child in this state." Biel's post then goes on to say, quote, "That's why I spoke to legislators and argued against this bill, not because I don't believe in vaccinations, but because I believe in giving doctors and the families they treat the ability to decide what's best for their patients and the ability to provide that treatment." Now, Jessica Biel received a torrent of abuse online from, of course, the pack mentality. You know, if you're seen as saying something, anything provocative or controversial, from the traditionally accepted line of thought, you're going to get ostracized. So immediately she was smeared as someone that wants to see children be harmed, children lose their lives just because they're not vaccinated. She was called someone, you know, every name in the book, essentially, and really wasn't fair. And even if she is an anti-vaxxer, I mean, let's face it, at 37 years old, she's looking pretty good, looking pretty well kept together. So if she has some crazy views about vaccinations, UFOs, Bigfoot, I think you tolerate it if you get to pipe that. Now, some of you might be saying I'm being crass and Tim is looking at me like I'm some sick degenerate, but this is a guy who once smelled the seat in... Okay, Tim, okay, I won't tell that story. I promise I won't tell the story. Okay, I won't tell the story of him smelling the seat after Aunt Ethel got up. Okay. I'm sorry. Don't start crying, Tim. Come on. Are you gonna leave? Are you kidding me? Now he's flipping me off and he's leaving. All right, whatever. Just go. It's been a rough time with the family if you've been listening to past installments of Grade A Nation.